Welcome to another edition of Inside City Hall, the official podcast of the City of Oregon City, where we give you all the whos and whys and hows and all those other fun questions of how your community operates. Today, I'm joined once again by our library director, Greg Williams, who graciously offered to take this spot because, honestly, there is so much to talk about with what's going on at the library. I know when we did this before, we kind of went into that, but there's the amount of programming that your team puts on never ceases to amaze me because they have found a way to appeal to literally every age group, every demographic, everything out there. And I don't know how you guys do it.
Well, first of all, thank you, Jared, for having me on today. Happy to be here. Always happy to talk about library stuff. You know, I could go on for we could do a whole season's worth of podcasts about library stuff.
We probably could. Inside Oregon City Library.
There you go. You're 100% right. So the first thing I have to say about the programs and the events that we offer is, first of all, it is all my amazing staff that work at the library. I certainly wish that I could take credit for all the amazing ideas and all the wonderful topics and different varied kinds of programs that we put on. But really, it's my staff who are doing the day-to-day work. And I want to commend them for their creativity, for their just kind of being in touch with the community and understanding what the community needs are and desires are, and really being creative in the way they put those programs together and offer them. You're 100% correct. We, in everything we do, we really do try to make sure that we're hitting as many different populations in our service area as possible. And one of those that we do look at, like you mentioned, is age. And really, you know, we see ourselves as libraries. We see ourselves as a resource for anybody from birth to, you know, to long time from then, nine minutes to 99 years old. We have something for everybody, no matter what age range they're in.
It's like a Lego set from age like 3 to 99.
Right.
But once you're 100.
That's right. Yeah. Then we'll have time. But no, any 100, any centenarians out there, please come to the Oregon City Library. We'll be happy to have you. So yes, we do try to cater to everybody. You know, one of the areas that we do focus a lot on, are our kids and our youth. And I was hoping I could take just a few seconds to talk about some of the amazing things that we do for our kids in the Oregon City Library. Listeners might not know, but every few years we develop a strategic plan, that's got some focus areas. We develop that in conjunction with the community and with our library board. And one of our current our areas of focus is creating and supporting young readers. And that's a very wide umbrella. But we do put a lot of effort and a lot of energy into trying to support young readers. I could give you a whole bunch of statistics about the positive life outcomes, whether it is happiness, whether it is paycheck, whether it's career satisfaction, career advancement. Early literacy development is so key in achieving all of that. And we think it's really important to make sure that we've got resources and events and programs that are going to help our kids and our families take those first steps into reading and kind of be a gateway to becoming a lifelong reader and a lifelong learner. So for our kids, as you mentioned, we do lots of different programs, you know, are regularly scheduled. We've got story times, which are totally fun.
And they're in high demand. I mean,
they are in very high demand.
Whenever I see a post go up there, just the comments of everybody saying, "Oh, we're going, are you going?" And they're tagging their friends and the other parents. It really seems like something that it has the benefit of both giving parents a break, but also having them be involved at the same time. And I don't know how you found that balance. I wish that was there when my kids were little, but.
And once again, all the credit has to go to my staff. They are very deliberate and very thoughtful when designing story times. Because a big part of it is, yes, it's exactly that. Is we want to make sure that there's opportunity for the kids to be entertained and be exposed to literature. Give them a chance to develop some of those critical early learning skills like counting and numbers and rhyming. Those are things which all help develop those early literacy skills. But as you said, we also want it to be an environment where parents can connect with one another. You know, where parents can come in and say, okay, you know, here's another parent in the community who is probably having some of the same joys, but also some of the same challenges as, you know, raising a kid these days. And it's an opportunity for them to connect. So we really want it to be an opportunity for the kids to be entertained, for the parents to connect. We are currently doing 3 story times a week. We know there's certainly more demand out there. And we do have some, positions that we were able to add this budget biennium. So we're hopeful that we might be able to expand that programming going forward. In addition to story times, we do art labs, which for kids and families, which is great. It's basically we provide the supplies, the kids and the families supply the creativity and the imagination.
And they really do put out some really amazing works. We got some young artists in town.
They do some amazing stuff. I will encourage everybody, if you don't follow us on social media, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We love to highlight all the creations that our artists of all ages make during our art labs and our adult art gyms. Some of them are fantastic. I am artistically challenged. I am not able to produce such stunning works, but boy, our art attendees, they're fabulous. Some of the other things we do on a regular basis, we provide tours to school kids so they can come in and learn how the library works. We recently have started doing some more afternoon movie programs for kids and families, a couple of sing-alongs, they're always very popular. We also have lots of special events. So one we just had recently, we just wrapped it up this weekend, was our second annual Stuffy Sleepaway Camp.
And I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did.
It is one of my favorites. We should be posting the pictures this week sometimes, but what that involved was kids were able to bring their stuffies to the library on a Saturday afternoon, and the stuffies were able to stay in the library all night long. We had some stuffy camp counselors to help them, and all the stuffies got to do amazing things like have a story time of their own. They got to ride the elevators. They got to ride our automated materials handling machine. They had karaoke time, so we've got some great pictures of the stuffies belting out some of the hits. And the participation this year was great. Last year, we had about 35 stuffies participate. This year, we had 88 stuffies participate. So, and I'm proud to say we got every stuffy back to its rightful owner. So that's one of our key success metrics for that program. So yeah, it was a great time. And the stuffies had a wonderful time. Some of the other things we do for kids, I just want to quickly touch on. Summer reading is always just a huge effort for us. The planning for that is actually currently, for this year, summer reading is currently underway. It has been underway for a couple of months now. We like to get a head start on that. But that's a time where we want to make sure that kids, even though they're out of school and it's summertime, that they still are developing and nurturing those reading skills and their connection with literature and keeping that reading, keeping those skills well developed so that they avoid the dreaded summer slump. We always have lots of programs. We have concerts that we schedule during the summer. We have prizes for people who read and complete certain challenges during the summer. So we're really excited about that. This year's theme, I believe, is read, repeat, and renew. Don't quote me on that. I have to double check with my staff on that. But it should be a great time. So we're really looking forward to summer reading. Some of the other things I just wanted to quickly talk about. We have a wonderful early literacy program called 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten. That is a program where, as I mentioned, those early literacy skills are just critical in developing in our youngest readers. And so the goal of that program is to make sure that by the time kids get into kindergarten, on their first day of kindergarten, they have had the opportunity to read 1,000 books, which develops those key early literacy skills that they're going to need to be successful in kindergarten. 1,000 books may sound like a lot, but from birth to age 5, it's really not that much. It averages out to a couple of books a week, I think. And so it's just a regular thing, and kids and parents just read it together. We have certain incentives that as you reach certain milestones during that 1,000 books, you get certain prizes, so we want to keep kids engaged. And I think the last time I checked, I'd want to say we've been doing this program for a couple of years now, and I think we are close to 100,000 books read. That kids and families have reported. So it's great. We're really excited to be able to do that. And again, just developing those critical early literacy skills.
Let's keep talking about the youth for a minute, but kick it up a couple of years.
Kick it up. All right.
Because, I mean, yes, the library does a lot for the younger kids in this town, and it's very beneficial. But that help continues to go. And you just finished, let's say, the agreement for an innovative program with Oregon City School District that it's going to benefit the kids continued from kindergarten on through high school, correct?
We did, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. That's something we're really pleased to talk about. So one of the things that we've been working on for several years at this point is in many library districts and library systems across the country, there are agreements in place between the libraries and the school districts to automatically issue library cards to anybody, any kid who's in the school district. And we did not have that program here. I don't believe there were any in Clackamas County. And so we were able to work with the Oregon City School District and Clackamas County and our library staff. And just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we finally signed the agreement to implement this coming school year, our student library card program. So we're going to do a pilot this spring with one or two classes in Oregon City School District, see how it works. We are we have some really bright, talented, skilled people working on this, so we know it's going to all go great. And once we get that testing done, we are anticipating that for next school year, so for enrollment for this year, parents of any kid in Oregon City School District, as part of their enrollment package, they're going to have an option to say, I would like my child to have an Oregon City Library card. It'll be a special student library card. No fines, no overdue fines will accrue on that card. We felt that was very important to encourage kids to come in. They'll be able to put a certain number of items on hold, checkout items, but that card is just going to be there and exist. It will be tied to their student ID number, so they won't have to memorize a new library card number. It'll just be ready for them when they come into the library. They can say, hey, my student ID, I'm from Oregon City School District. My student ID number is this, and we'll have their library card already set up for them. And our goal with that type of program is to reduce barriers to getting kids to come to the library. A lot of times when kids come on tours or with their parents, it can take a few minutes to fill out a library card application, especially if parents are juggling, you know, multiple kids, pulling out IDs can be difficult. We thought this would be a great way just to reduce that friction, reduce those barriers to kids being able to access their public library. We're really excited about that. I think the Oregon City School District student body is about 7,000 students. We'll see how many are going to be part of this, but we're very excited. It's going to be a great program. That's K through 12.
You mentioned a moment ago reducing barriers. Wonderful segue for me. I appreciate that. I think this actually was very possibly my first day when I started with Oregon City a year and 2 months ago. We were at our department head meeting, and you had to leave early because you were doing a ribbon cutting for this new display for BAM, or Because Access Matters. And this was something new for me on my first day. It was fantastic, but I got to actually learn about it, which was rather fortuitous timing. And it was already an innovative program, but BAM has actually grown since then. So talk a little bit about what that is and what it has become in its process as your team has continued to work and improve it.
Well, certainly. So first, I have to give kudos to our adult services team, in particular Jen Giovanetti. She is the person who kind of coordinates BAM. So the way BAM started was several years ago. It was during summer reading, actually, and we had an adult with disabilities come in and say, you know, I want to participate in summer reading. I want to participate in some of these library programs. There's not a lot of great resources for me here. You know, the things that are at my reading level are generally kids' books, and, you know, I'm an adult person, and these are the topics I'm interested in. And the same with programming. You know, we had some kids' art programs, but we didn't have a lot of adult art programs, especially adults with disabilities. And so we thought to ourselves, you know, this is an area that we really think we can have in, and we can build some programming around. So Jen has been fantastic about just over time building that program up. So we started, you know, today we have a very robust BAM program. So every week, every Monday, we have BAM programming. We generally have the Lego. We have a BAM Lego lab. That's not every week. I think that's every couple of weeks. But we have a BAM special Lego lab that people can come in. We provide the Legos. They provide, again, the creativity. They have special band programming, whether that's presenters coming in and talking about topics that are of interest to our disability community. They have special movie screenings that we have them come to. And as you said, we did recently create a BAM books collection, and that was we were fortunate enough to receive some grant money from the State Library of Oregon to be able to put that together. We also had some grant money from the Women's Club of Oregon City to help with that. And that's a book collection. As you mentioned, we had a ribbon cutting for it. It's a book collection, books and materials that are adult, you know, topics and interest, adult fiction, literature, nonfiction books, but in a format that's easier for our BAM community to access and easier for them to use. It's great to have that collection available. We've seen some really good usage out of it. Going forward, you know, we want to do more with BAM programming. We recently, we have a BAM advisory committee, which is now, we made that an official subcommittee of our library board. So we're looking forward to hearing their feedback on what more programs and services we'd be able to provide for them. It's a great program. It's something that we've received some recognition for, and a lot of other libraries come to us and say, "Hey, how'd you do this? How can we do what you did?" So again, I got to give all the credit in the world to our staff.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the events that your team puts on, because again, you're always looking for new ways to reach out to the community, to engage with the community, and get them coming back to the library beyond just that first event. One of my favorites, probably closest and nearest and dearest to your heart as well, May the 4th. But that is just one of a variety of events that you put on that also cover the whole gamut of I don't want to say tone, but almost, you know, mood or tone. I mean, tone might be the right way to say it, because you're taking on fun things like Star Wars, but sometimes you're also introducing people to new cultures, or, you know, marking events that may be a little bit more somber, or something we need to remember and not celebrate, but remember and honor. So you really do run the whole gamut. So kind of talk about the theory behind that, what goes behind that, and then maybe preview a couple things that are coming up as you can.
All right.
In the coming couple months.
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much. Got to keep a few cards, a few aces up our sleeve.
Spoiler alerts.
Yes. So you're right. Programming. Everything a library does is trying to meet the information needs of as wide a portion of our population as we possibly can. And in the library world, we talk a lot about, yes, you know, there are lots of different ways we can go about doing it. So as you say, sometimes, you know, some of the programming is, we have programming that is largely informational in nature. We recently had Oregon Black Pioneers come to the library, and in conjunction with Black History Month, talk about the history of civil rights movement in Oregon. Very informative presentation. Very glad to have them and work with them. We also do things that are a little more whimsical, a little more fun. Like you mentioned, May the 4th is one of those huge ones. That grew organically. We have a lot of Star Wars fans in the library, and it turns out in the community as well.
That was a huge event.
That was it gets bigger every year. We're hard at work planning it now. Generally our programming does try to address a whole bunch of different needs and desires in the community, whether it's for information, whether it's for, you know, literature and art, or whether it's just for entertainment and fun. You know, all of those are perfectly valid pursuits and perfectly valid needs that everybody has. Everybody needs to be entertained. Everybody needs to be informed. Everybody needs sometimes to have access to just, you know, I need the facts, or I need to learn how to do this. And then sometimes people just need to let their imagination, you know, be inspired and run wild. And we want to be there for them to support all of those things. I'll talk about a few that we've had recently. Just this weekend, we had one of my favorite programs that we've had in a while. We had Blues in the Books. So we had local, very well-known blues musician Ray Gordon with a couple of accompanying instrumentalists come in, give a fabulous blues, little mini blues concert in the library. It was wonderful. Really enjoyed it. This week we have a gentleman coming in. He is a local historian named Daryl Jabin. He's going to talk about the development of trains in Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And how the coming of the train, you know, impacted the economy and the subsequent history of the state of Oregon. So we're really looking forward to that. Boy, let's see, giving a little hints about some things coming down. Well, I think I'll talk about one that we're working on right now. And we have done this for the past couple of years. It's an honor for the library to be able to do this, to be involved in this. We have been the site for the city's, for the past couple of years, the city has officially sponsored a Juneteenth celebration to celebrate the Juneteenth holiday. And we are once again hard at work on planning for our Juneteenth celebration. It'll be Saturday, June 15th. We're planning on changing up the format a little bit, having a little more, a nice combination of both the somber and the commemorative with a lot of fun and access to members of the community for music and cultural information and the like. So we're really excited about that. Stay tuned for more information about that. I did mention summer reading. So summer reading will be coming up. We'll start mid-June and go through, I believe, end of August. I encourage everybody to keep their eyes out for information on summer reading. There's going to be fabulous prizes like we always have, lots of fun activities. And I guess the other one I'll put in is anybody who lives in the community has known, especially over the last couple of years, in addition to Star Wars, we love Halloween. The library.
That is true.
And so I can pretty much guarantee you that once again, this coming October, is coming Halloween, please stop by the library. You will see some very fun decorations. We will have some great programs just to kind of, you know, have a lot of fun with the season and kind of go all out.
So with a couple minutes that we have left, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, like I already have. But just kind of give us that 30-second elevator speech that you would give to somebody. Hey, why should I go to the library?
Boy, that's you're going to limit me 30 seconds, huh? Well, so
give or take.
All right. I think what I'll say is, the way I look at it is, we've got the Asians covered. So we've got the information. So if there's any information that you want or need to do anything, whether it's, you know, I need to figure out how to repair a burst pipe, in my home.
Relevant right now.
Yes. Or whether it's, you know, hey, I need to learn how to cook a souffle, or, you know, I need to learn how to program in JavaScript. The library's got that information for you. One of the things that libraries do is connect people with the information they need. And we take a very broad view of information. So we've got it in multiple formats, different topics. The other Asian, as I alluded to earlier, is that imagination part of it. And, you know, the joy and the wonder that diving into a good book or watching a movie or listening to a piece of music that connects with you. That is an experience that we cherish and we want to make available to everybody in our community. So anybody in the community, that's part of my elevator speech as well, is that we are the place that you can go to have that experience, and we do it for free. You know, that's part of the public library. We take that public aspect of public library very serious. We want people to come to our place. We want people to engage with our programming. We want them to access the information. And we are dedicated to trying to reduce as many barriers as possible to get people to come in and to have access and enjoy everything we have to offer.
And of course, like you said, free is good. You can't beat free. So give us the hours and the best ways to find out some of the programming that you have offering.
Okay, hours the library. This is really putting me on the spot. Monday through Friday, 10 to 7. Saturday, 10 to 6. Sunday, 12 to 5. We encourage people to get information by either signing up for our email newsletter, which we send out. I believe we're doing that twice a month now. Sign up for our email newsletter. And social media is also a great way to connect with us. So if you're on Facebook or if you're on Instagram, we encourage you to follow us on each of those social media channels. We also try to make sure that we get information out in the city's publications. We try to make sure that we get information out to school districts so they know about programs. So hopefully, we're getting information out there. And then I would just encourage people, you know, if you see something, you see a social media post, you see something in your email and you think to yourself, oh, that seems like something we should come on down. Give us a try. Come on over to the library. We are a very welcoming environment. We want to see you. We want to make sure that you have a great time and have get your Asian needs met.
Well, as somebody who has managed social media for much longer than they care to admit, I've been doing this since MySpace was a thing. Your team does a phenomenal job on social media and getting the word out everywhere. So kudos to them. Big shout out to the staff of the library. And Greg, again, thank you for coming in today. I appreciate that. We're going to wrap things up today, but there's always more going on in the library. So I have a sneaking suspicion we'll bring you on again before too incredibly long.
All right. Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
And until then, we'll speak with you next time on Inside City Hall, the official podcast of the City of Oregon City. Talk to you later.